Good morning, world, and welcome to the Poor Sport Podcast, where some days I'm talking sports, but most days I'm talking shit. You know what I mean? Let's get right into it. We got the news, Anthony Davis, he wants to get traded from the Pelicans. And immediately everybody thinks because his agent is Rich Paul that, you know, it's going to be a trade for Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Which, I mean, I get it. If you connect the dots, his agent, LeBron's agent, it kind of makes sense, but to keep it a bean, I don't like AD with the Lakers. I don't like AD with what the Lakers got other than LeBron. Because all those dudes are, most of them, like, they're going to get rid of their young talent. And they're going to have to hold on to all the old heads. And them old heads ain't making no moves. Like, they ain't making no moves if they make the playoffs. I'm saying that as tough as the West is right now, one through eight is all, like, within, like, I believe, like, five, six games. But I mean, other than the top two, but I mean, they're even with AD to the Lakers right now. I don't see him doing anything this year. And honestly, it makes more sense for him to, like, if the Celtics can hold on to Kyrie, it makes more sense for him to go to Boston. You would have Kyrie and AD. I don't think they would give up Al Horford. I think he would stay. With all those assets and picks that the Celtics got, I mean, what are you talking? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you'll probably have to give up a big, what's my man named, Baines or Thies, give one of them up, and probably some of them first rounders. They got three first round picks coming up in this year's draft. Yeah, they gotta come up off at least two of them, so that make more sense. But the pieces that they can retain by adding Anthony Davis, it makes more sense for him, especially in the long run. Now, I've seen reports saying that he's uncertain. Kyrie will re-sign with the Celtics, which I do too. I don't think Kyrie wants to stay there. But if he does decide to stay there, imagine Kyrie, AD, Brad Stevens, probably the best coach in the East. Man, them dudes would be tough, man. That'd be a tough lineup right there. I actually would like to see that, just to see him progress. Even though I hate the Celtics, I'm not even a Lakers fan. I'm a LeBron fan, but I don't like the Celtics. But for him, I would like that for him, just for what they got going on going forward. Because, again, I don't see what the Lakers got to offer AD. Now, Magic, he could probably pull off some Magic and add some more pieces there. And that'd be nice. That'd be real cool, actually. Because remember, in the beginning of this season, well, before LeBron got hurt, they had beat the Warriors on Christmas. I think they were in fourth place that day. Well, after that game. You mean to tell me you're in fourth place with a 34-year-old LeBron James and a bunch of young guys who haven't even grown into themselves yet as far as NBA players? Kuzma's kind of been balling, but he's still, you know, he ain't the best defensive player yet. There's still things, you know, he can work on. But for him to be fourth place in the West at that time, that's saying something. That's saying a lot. So, yeah, you get rid of them, addition by subtraction. It's just, man, what are you going to support AD with them? They got Rondo. I remember Rondo was there last year in New Orleans. It was AD, Boogie, Drew, Rondo, and I think Meritage was involved with that too. But he has some chemistry with AD. You're going to bring in Lance. Lance got that veteran experience. Michael Beasley is a self-proclaimed walking bucket. Who else they got there? JaVale McGee, Tyson Chandler. Now, the one thing that's not being talked about with all of this is, even though these dudes are vets, like, these dudes been in the league for, most of them, at least 7 years now. And Tyson Chandler been in the league. He's in the league before LeBron. Like, these dudes, they got some wear and tear on their legs. They got some mileage built up. I don't think that's going to help them come April and May, where even though you're playing the same team, it's all these other teams is young. The Warriors not as young as everybody think, but I mean, who's stopping that juggernaut? Then you got the Nuggets, and you got the Blazers, and you got OKC. OKC, they're right there. I think OKC sneakily may be best team in the West when it's all said and done at the end of this year. I'm just waiting for Golden State to fall off. But still, the other team, LA, the Clippers, You got the Jazz are here and there, man. But the Kings, and I'm just saying, there's so much talent and so much youth in the West that it's going to be hard for the Lakers, just like the Cavs last year. Yo, man, if you don't got some young guns in that lineup running with you, that's why the Lakers got to hold on to something. They got to hold on probably two of them young pieces. Give up some draft picks, Ball, Ingram, and something else, man. Maybe Zubac. I think that would be the perfect trade for them. Give away Lonzo, give away Ingram, give away Zubac, maybe a couple picks. Word, and you can hold on to Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma? That makes sense. That makes sense to me. But on the other end of that, for those living in New Orleans and are fans of the Pelicans, y'all been crying all about last week about that pass interference call. Get over that. There's another thing. New Orleans isn't like, that's not a basketball town. Matter of fact, that's like college football territory. You got the Saints. I mean, I'm sure the Saints dominate that area on Sundays. But as far as like a weekend, I'm sure college football dominates all that. And for basketball, it's just a small market. And I've seen some people crying about small markets getting the cheap end of the stick here. But let's have this combo. Since we're talking about small markets, why do we need 30 NBA teams? We have 30 NBA teams. A third of which are tanking each and every year, and that's visible and clear as day by Martin Luther King Day. Hell, by Christmas. We already have an idea most years who's going to be in contention for a title. 5 or 6 teams, you know, every year. So you take out a third, that's like 10 teams, and you got 5 or 6 teams at the top who are in contention. Maybe every year. That's half league. Then you got the other half league that's just in the middle. They're just average where, yeah, they're not making no run for the title, but they're not the worst teams in the league. These are teams that are just volleying for the 17th overall draft pick. You know, like, I feel like we don't need this many teams. As a matter of fact, I think it would be better if we downsize. We complain about some of these stars, they get drafted. Because think, these small markets, they don't have, free agents don't want to come there. They don't acquire any talent via trade. So these guys, these teams are dealing with marginal guys and average talent and are finishing either a couple games below 500 to well into the tank each and every year. So they're getting, I guess, good talent in the draft. But by the time these guys are any good, they don't want to play there. And it's like a cycle. Like, look at Orlando. Orlando hasn't been good. Orlando has had two periods of time where they've been good. The T-Mac era and the Dwight Howard era. Not even to mention, they had Steve Francis in between that time. But, you know, once he got there, they, like, what were they? They weren't Magic no more. And that T-Mac era, I think it was just that era because T-Mac was good. But his supporting cast was like, I mean, not downing these guys. I think, wasn't Juwan Howard on the team around that time? He was, I guess, still good. Daryl Armstrong and, oh, man, they, like, Matt Bonner part of them? They had one of those white guys that could shoot on that squad. But anyway, then you go to the Dwight Howard era, which was probably the Magic's best era. Oh, I'm totally forgetting the Penny Shaq era. I'm tripping. Oh, her guy. You know what? Because I'm just thinking about, like, since, like, 2000, you know? But, yeah, they had that Penny and Shaq era where they got to the finals. Yeah, but that Dwight Howard era was, that was a hell of an era, too. I mean, my man was an MVP talks for like 3 straight years in a row. They were in the playoffs every year. They beat the LeBron James Cavs-led team to the finals. That team was better than most people give them credit for. But the thing about Orlando is they can't keep stars. Dwight left. T-Mac left. Penny left. Shaq left. You know what I'm saying? They got rid of Oladipo. I don't know what they're holding on to Aaron Gordon for so long for. Yeah, get rid of him and Vooch. But I get it. You want to start winning. You want to give your fans something. Vucevic and Gordon may be the longest tenured Magic players on that team. And I get it. You want to give them something. But, man, get them dudes a chance to compete. Magic, they're not getting out the East. They may not even make the playoffs. Give them dudes a chance to compete. Just like New Orleans, man. Give AD a chance to compete. Charlotte Hornets. Hey, Jordan. Give Kemba a chance to compete. I think they made the playoffs once in Kemba's career. Yeah, man. Come on. Be fair to that man. Give that man a chance to compete. Hey, been there for years. What else is there to wait for? How long have we been waiting on teams like the Washington Wizards to be good? They've always been in the mix within the Eastern Conference. But, man, we know they wasn't beating nobody. Hell, they made it to the second round. Good season for them. Come on, man. Like, how long are we going to keep waiting on these teams to be who we feel like they have the potential to be? And of these 30 teams, I mean, keep being these, and all these stars, they want to leave these small markets to go to a bigger market where they can be the man of their team. They can have big endorsements, or they can win, or be in contention to win each and every year. And, I mean, you look at the 30 NBA teams. I can think, like I said, 10 of them we can get rid of right off the bat. Orlando, New Orleans. I don't think we really need a team in Memphis. And some of these small markets have been here for years. Still, Phoenix, Sacramento, Milwaukee. Do we really need three basketball teams in Texas? Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. Wonder who I would get rid of? Dallas. Nah, I'd probably get rid of San Antonio. San Antonio hasn't been... I mean, they have a history of players. But you see what I'm saying? Like, we should only... Instead of eliminating teams, let's just have two teams in, like, the biggest markets. Wouldn't that make more sense? Like, why do we need to have 30 NBA teams? These teams are traveling. These players are tired. Game after game, they're traveling on planes. Sometimes they have three road games and five nights. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's all over the place. And it's a winter league. These guys don't want to be traveling from Toronto to D.C. to Cleveland to Boston just to go back home to Golden State for a game or two. And they have to come back east and play Charlotte. Now they got to play Atlanta. Now they got to play Orlando. Now they got to play Miami. You see what I'm saying? New York, LA, Chicago, Houston, Philly, Boston, Portland. Portland's kind of, I think Portland's a good market. I feel like we should bring Seattle back. Miami, Toronto, we could keep Toronto. Brooklyn, I'm not sure how many Texas teams I said. We just need to get rid of one of those Texas teams. But you see what I'm saying? And in some of those big cities, we can have two teams. Stop all the crying. Stop all the crying of AD leaving and players wanting to leave small markets. We don't need small markets in the NBA. It's just another city to host a team and to hold a player hostage. Do we need that? Or are we being selfish with that? And when I say we, you fans of small markets. You guys dominate the college sports scene. Don't always need to eat your cake since you got it. Just be happy you got cake. So the other day, I posted a really unpopular opinion on my Facebook and got a lot of pushback on that, as I expected. So the statement was, and not a statement, the opinion was, again, not an opinion, because to me, I feel like this is factual, but I stated James Harden is better than Allen Iverson. And that's how I feel. I feel like I've seen enough from James Harden to know that, yeah, he's a better basketball player than Allen Iverson. And I live like really close to Philadelphia, so I'm in their territory, and all I hear is pushback and yada yada yada, and you know, everybody around here, they're AI lovers. You know, they're Iverson lovers. You can't say anything negative about Iverson. But I was never an Iverson lover. I'm 26. I'm old enough to have seen Iverson play. I remember that 01 NBA Finals. I remember the years after that. I remember the Nuggets trade. I remember Iverson not only in a Nuggets uniform, but a Pistons uniform and a Grizzlies uniform. And yeah, it ain't pretty. And I also got a bunch of stats thrown at me. Here's what I don't like about stats. Is that you can make stats say whatever you want them to say. There's numbers for everything. You can make a stat say anything you want the stat to say. No, it's like, how valuable is that stat when there's a stat for everything? That's like when you're in a relationship and you constantly tell your significant other, I love you. It's losing its value. You can't tell me you love me 3 to 17 times a day and, you know, 8.5 months from now expect that same I love you to have its value still. You tell me I love you after a kiss. You tell me I love you after I tie your shoe. You tell me I love you for taking the trash out. Shit. At some point, you know, when you gonna hate me? Anyway, I think that's besides the point. I don't know, it's something else. But listen, stats, that you can make them say whatever you want to say. Here's the thing about Harden and Iverson. For those of you who have watched them both, they have the same game almost exactly. Harden has his step back. Iverson was more of a crossover. He really didn't do the step back thing, but Iverson, you know, there was times Iverson would do, you know, the side step or, you know, the side jab, and Iverson found ways to create space to get his shots up, to get his points, to get his buckets. James Harden does the same thing. They both drive to the hole and can get buckets at the rim. They're both good at drawing fouls. Harden's the better three-point shooter. He's been getting better defensively, and he's not getting credit for that, because we used to make jokes about Harden all the time about his poor defense. People would sometimes try to, you know, bring up the Iverson stats on defense, and again, how much of Iverson's steals or anything defensively, how much of that came in crunch time and in garbage time? Then, you know, here's the big one. Here's the big one I get. Harden never led his team to the finals. Cool, whatever. I get that to you. Iverson definitely led that Sixers team to the finals. They were trash, too. Which is why they never got back to the finals. But if he's so good, why couldn't he lead them to the finals again? For that time period, right around from like 2000 to 2005, it wasn't like the East was getting better every year. It was like pretty much the same guys on the same teams every year. Iverson was with the Sixers. Vince Carter, he was with the Raptors. I think he moved to the Nets, though. When did that trade happen? I think that happened the 05 season, 05 or 06. For the most part, Vince Carter was a Raptor. Jason Kidd was a Net. You know, it was them, Kerry Kittles and Richard Jefferson, Kenyon Martin, for the most part. The Heat weren't really established yet. T-Mac was a Magic until he got traded to the Rock. What was that, 04? He was a Magic. You see what I'm saying? No, the East was pretty much the same guys. Paul Pierce, the same guys. Reggie Miller in Indiana, the same guys. Cleveland and those cafeteria workers. Nah, I'm not going to do Cleveland like that. They had Ricky Davis and, you know, Gauskas, Darius Miles. I think Boozer was on the team, too. This is all before LeBron came. Yeah, you know, they had cafeteria workers. Anyway, that's my point. The East was the same, so Harden never let... Harden's playing in a much tougher... For one, talent and competition is way better now than it was about 15, 20 years ago. He's playing in a much tougher NBA than what Homeboy was playing, what Iverson was playing in. And yes, I get that numbers are really inflated now because of the rules and how soft they are with, you know, calling fouls and not letting players get physical or make too much contact. Yes, I get it. Still, 60 points to 60 points. This run of, I forget how many games it's been now, 30 points. That means something. That means something. He's getting, now you're not going to make every shot you take, but you got to put up shots to make a shot. You got to take a shot to make a shot. So, yeah, he's getting these points and he's not making all of his shots. So, I don't want to hear how Harden went 16 of 38. I don't want to hear about, yeah, he missed this many. Man, listen. Nobody's saying nothing. Kobe's taking all them damn shots. Kobe took more shots than Lil John in the one song. Come on, man. Kobe took big shots. Ain't nobody. We love Kobe for that. Shoot that shit, Kobe. Brick. Next possession. Man, get a ball to Kobe. Let Kobe shoot it again. We love that. We don't love that with Harden. Harden creates plays for his teammates. Just think, since he got to Houston, this man's not only, and mind you, he was already a sixth man of the year, and he had been to an NBA Finals. He's gotten better on defense. He's a way better shooter than he was in OKC. He's a way better passer. He's a better player overall, because I want to say he's a better leader. I don't know. We're going to wait till the playoffs. He's got to show that in the playoffs. And you want to know what they almost did last year, because they got some help around him. Them dudes was playing defense. They almost got the Warriors up out of here. But them dudes done missed like 2,500 three-pointers. You know what I'm saying? And they kept relying on that. I don't know why they, man, tried to pound the bucket. I think they was up for a minute, too. They should have just pounded the hole. Kept giving the ball to Capella. You know what I'm saying? Let Capella do what he do. You know what I'm saying? Them buckets was going to come. They was forcing a lot of them threes up. But yeah, man, Harden and Iverson, they the same dude to me. One's 6'5", one's 5'11". They the same dude to me. That's it. Harden's just better, and they play the same game. If they the same dude and they play the same game, but Harden's better at playing that game, what are we even talking about? What's there to debate? That Iverson was small, and he did it in a much tougher NBA? I don't care. What'd that mean? Dudes was playing defense, or they was allowing you to steal hack? Was that fun to get hacked? Nah, that wasn't fun. You ain't enjoy that. So you telling me it was better because he did it in a time where refs were lackadaisical on defense? Or David Stern was fine with this rugby mentality of basketball? Come on, man. Nah. I think, and you want to know, I'm not going to throw no stats at you, but if you remember watching Iverson play and you're watching Harden play, just look at the space they create. Look at the shots they get up. Look at the pace of game they play. The fluff. How they get their teammates involved. I think Harden's a better teammate. I think Harden makes his teammates better. And if this is a statement that you don't agree with now, by the time James Harden is done playing basketball, your mind had damn sure better be changed. Because you don't got to agree with it. I'm not trying to change your mind. You're not going to change my mind. James Harden is better than Allen Iverson. It's going to go down in history too. And I think Everybody knows that. And if you don't know that, you will know that. They got to redo this top 50 greatest players in NBA history. They got to redo that list sometime soon. You can't tell me them dudes from 30 years ago are better than dudes today. If Devin Booker, yeah, we get it. You'll have to play, and you know what I'm saying? In rougher times, but was them dudes back in the 80s, they was going to stop Devin Booker? They was going to stop Steph Curry? They was going to stop Dame Lillard? They was going to stop Kemba? They was going to stop Kyrie? They was going to stop James Harden? Come on, man. Dudes is way too skilled offensively. Way too much talent. Dudes can dribble the ball better now than they have ever been able to. It's evolution, man. Things get better with evolution. Things get better over time. Look at us as people. Look at athletes. Athletes now are bigger, faster, and stronger than they were 10 years ago. You mean to tell me an athlete from 20 years ago is better at playing the same game that's being played today with an athlete from today? Not trying to hear it, bro. Love Iverson. Iverson, one of the best. His impact on NBA with his culture and his attitude, his fashion. Yeah, he had a big impact on the culture of NBA. But like I tell folks around here that live around me, and you're not an Iverson lover, what was Iverson? Really, what was Iverson other than, in my opinion, an undersized scorer? Hoops, there it is. Hoops, there it is. Hoops, there it is. Hoops, there it is. We talking hoops. Hoops, we talking hoops, baby hoops. Hoops, hoops, we talking hoops, baby hoops. College hoops, that is. Yeah, yeah. What's going on, man? Hey, yo. Answer this one question for me, America. Who gonna beat these Duke Blue Devils, man? Who gonna beat these Dukies? Who gonna knock the Dukies off? Guess what? I got an answer for you. Nobody. Who gonna be the Blue Devils? Nobody. Who's gonna defeat Duke? Nobody. Nobody gonna be them. Yeah, man. Now, all jokes aside, listen. These dudes is tough, man. I've never seen nobody like Zion. I hate that they keep trying to compare this man to people like Sean Kemp and Charles Barkley. And I heard a couple of LeBron. Man, listen. He's his own man. Stop trying to compare him, yo. He's his own man. This dude's a beast. We gave Kenneth Faried the wrong nickname. We wasn't supposed to give that nickname to Faried. Because he could jump and got rebounds. He don't deserve the nickname the Manimal. The Manimal should be Zion. Don't that seem like a more fitting nickname for Zion? The Manimal. That man's a man and an animal. And he's not even old enough to buy a beer. Man, listen. And a lot of people don't even think he's the best overall player on the team. People give that title to RJ Barrett. Listen, Duke is strong, man. They're strong. Since they've been doing this one and done thing along with Kentucky, not only are they getting the best talent year in and year out, but like they're not falling off. Kentucky's getting the same best talent year in and year out, and you know, like, where the heck have they been? Duke, man, listen, I don't see nobody. Now listen, don't get it wrong, will Duke lose another game before this college basketball season is over? Yes, hell, they'll probably lose two, maybe three. Do you honestly feel like they're going to... Now, this is without anybody getting injured, because, you know, things happen. You see anybody in the ACC beating these guys?
for the ACC championship. Virginia's going to be a top seed. Carolina's going to be a top seed. Maybe Notre Dame for the ACC tournament. Dude, nobody's going to get in their way. Nobody's getting their way. That's what they lost to Syracuse earlier in the year, and I don't know how. Like, that was just one of those games that Duke never loses. I think Syracuse was unranked, and they were on the road. And I think Duke was like 3,258-0 at home versus unranked opponents or something like that. Man, listen, nobody in that conference is beating them. They just whooped on Notre Dame. Zion is, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft this year. Deservedly so. He's going to bring fans in, putting butts in the seat. He's selling tickets. It's just unfortunate he's going to have to go to one of them small markets and be way too big a fish in that small market like what AD is dealing with now. Unless the Knicks can tank their way to the first pick. Like, ain't that what happened with Ewing? They didn't tank, but, you know, they got the lottery, and somehow they just got that first pick. Listen, if the Knicks can get that top pick, Zion is in Madison Square for the next 10 years. Madison Square Garden, that belongs to Zion now. Zion and KP. Yeah, imagine they get a free agent to come through, like if KD came through, or Kyrie, or Kemba. Or, oh my
God, this is gonna be nasty.
Listen, man, Duke is so tough this year. I can't wait to see what they're gonna do in the tournament. Duke has a reputation, especially over the last 15 years. Every now and then, they'll lose to somebody they have no business, or even be in close games. Remember they lost to Mercer? Some years back, a couple years back, I was like, what the hell? Like, Mercer, and then I found out all this information about Mercer, located in New York. And that's the only thing I learned about Mercer. But, oh, man, listen, I think this is a different team. I don't think there's a team in the country that's fooling with Duke. I don't give a damn what Gonzaga did 3 days after Halloween. Again, that was 3 days after Halloween. Gonzaga's not beating them again. Carolina has some players they haven't played yet. I don't think Carolina's beating Duke at all this year. Syracuse, the stars were in line for them that night. They're never beating this Duke team again. Not with this squad. Virginia's fraud. They're just fraudulent to me every year. They're good defensively. And they kind of make a run. Wait, no, last year, didn't they lost to the UMBC squad. But, man, listen, they're just fraudulent to me. They're not winning no titles. They're never the best team in the ACC. They're just always really good year in and year out. I think these Dukies, though, this may be the best Duke team. I think this Duke team got the potential to be better than that championship team just a few years back, too. When who was on that team? It was Quinn Cook. I think Okafor was on that squad. And was Tyus Jones with him too? Or he came? I think he came after. Speaking of Tyus Jones, his little brother Trey Jones. Yo, dude is a baller, man. If you guys watch Duke, like, you can tell he's not only the leader of the team on both ends. Like, his game as far as a guard, like, he's going to be really well. I think he's going to be better than his brother. These guys at these top talents that go to these universities and they team up, like Duke and Kentucky and Kansas, and these guys never get to show everything they can fully do. We didn't see the best of Karl Anthony Towns at Kentucky. We didn't see the best of Joel Embiid at Kentucky. We didn't see the best of Kyrie Irving at Duke. When I say Joel Embiid Kentucky, I meant Kansas. Come on, man. These guys, they're here to play with the best talent for a year, and then they're going their separate ways to play with some of the worst talent at that level. But these guys don't blossom, and they're coming into the NBA so early now. These guys don't blossom until like their fourth or fifth year now. But by then, like, AD, you know, they're only 25, but they've been in the league about 6 years. It's crazy. But, like, college basketball, man, college basketball is in a great place. Talent is all over. What's going on with Nevada? I remember earlier in the season, Nevada was ranked, like, in the top 10, and I had no reason, I had no idea why. I was like, who's playing for Nevada? Like, did Colin Kaepernick go back to school? And, like, what's going on here? But they were good. Gonzaga, they've been out the news for a minute. What happened to the Buffalo team? University of Buffalo, it was newsworthy for a while. Man, listen, college basketball is all over the place right now. It's not like how last year it was anybody's year. Like, Villanova, we haven't heard squat from Villanova at all this year. I love it! But I think this year there's only maybe four teams. Duke, Gonzaga. As of right now, this is what I'm feeling. Duke, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Michigan. Just off of what I seen. Michigan State, who didn't he just lost to Purdue, I think. Michigan State, they gotta get it together. But I don't see nobody beating these Dukies. Man, the tournament should be real exciting. I'm excited for all these guys. And let me show some love to Cam Reddish. He was one of the top recruits he came to Duke. And I'll be watching the games. And it's not like he's getting the love that RJ or Zion is getting. And I get it. And there's some shots that I see him take. Like he misses some shots. But man, listen. You can see it in him. You can see if he goes to the right team and with the right fit, the right coach, the right veterans. There's a lot of outliers here. But he's gonna be nice. He's gonna be nice. And we're gonna be asking ourselves in 3 or 4 years. Wait, he was at Duke. Why didn't we notice him when he was at Duke? And that's because we're all giving this love to Zion, deservedly so. And to RJ Barrett, who I guess I see it. Like, I see his game, and I don't know who people see in him. I don't know who people try to compare him to. Like, he's a really good right now college basketball player. I mean, he's going to be good on the next level too, but he's playing well right now. I tried to do the Paul George thing. Like, does he and Paul George have the same game? Or who does RJ Barrett compare to? Because I don't know. That's why I don't feel like he's the best player on Duke. He's obviously one of the best, but I don't know. I don't know who I can compare him to. He's going to be good, though. Zion is going to be something we've never seen before because we've never seen somebody so young, so big, so athletic. But I think he's going to cut the weight. Not too much, though, because you know that's who he is. I think we see he's close to 280. Imagine Zion at like 255 or 260. Boy, it's a problem. Most of these dudes in the NBA, most of them ain't over 240. It's going to be a problem. He's going to develop that jump shot, get his footwork together. His defense is going to be even better. He's going to become a student of the game. He's going to learn so much. I've been on the bandwagon. This dude is going to be a problem. I'm also rooting for LaMelo Ball. That man, hopefully he gets to go and play college ball next year. I would love to see him in the NBA too. But man, listen. I'm a Duke Blue Devil fan. Been a Duke Blue Devil fan since, you know, the Jay Williams and Shane Battier and J.J. Redick era. I'm talking way back, man. I'm talking about when these guys was going up against Juan Dixon and Merlin. You know, and yo, man. Them Duke Blue Devils, I think it's our year again. I think it's our year, Dukies. I think it's our year, Camman Crazies. Let's get it. Yeah, man. We are entering that beautiful time of year where, you know, we get Super Bowl Sunday. College basketball, NBA All-Star Weekend, and starting this year, we get that new football league, American Alliance of Football. I don't know, I'm interested in that. Definitely gonna tune into that. I definitely want to see what's going on. I'm not sure if this is supposed to be like the G League for the NFL or something like that, but hey, listen, I'm all in for football being played throughout the year. It's a beautiful time of year. You know, we get a lot of sports mixed together. February, I don't think we get much baseball. I'm not really too much a baseball fan outside of October. October's a great month, too. I think that's the only month of the year we get all four major U.S. sports together. But it's also a sad time of year. Super Bowl Sunday, last football Sunday of the season. Man, we don't get no more football until September. August, if you want to count that, but, you know, hell, I miss a preseason game on purpose. But it's Super Bowl week, and we're not going to be sad, even though we're not going to get football for the next 6 months. It's Super Bowl week, and my Pittsburgh, Blitzburg, Sixburg, Pittsburgh Steelers, no off year. Off year, you know, I'm not going to feed into all the BS and the noise and drama surrounding us. Just going to label this year, it was an off year. We didn't make the playoffs, and like 31 other teams in the NFL, we're not going to win the Super Bowl. Cool. Let's move on next season, you know? Why keep dwelling on this? But for the two teams that are in it, the Rams and the Patriots, a rematch of the Super Bowl back in 03, I think it was. Listen, I hate the Patriots. I hate Tom Brady. Love Bill Belichick. Think he's a hell of a coach. But this is all a respectful hate. These guys have been beating up not only on my Steelers, not only on the AFC East, the entire NFL going on almost 20 years now. And I got fatigue. I got Patriots Super Bowl fatigue, man. I've had Patriots Super Bowl fatigue since they beat the Eagles, you know, in that 2005 Super Bowl, 2004 Super Bowl. Man, but you want to know what? Like many other people, you sick of watching the Eagles, man? Hey, why don't your team beat them then? They win. They win every year. Not the Super Bowl every year, but these guys are winning to the point they're in a conference championship or they're in a Super Bowl every year. And you're damn right I'm pulling for the Rams. Then I'm pulling for anything that's not New England. Last year, I didn't care who won the Super Bowl because I hate the Eagles and the Patriots, but this year, Rams got to get it done. I didn't even expect the Rams to get this far. Because in the beginning of the season, I had confidence in them. Towards the end of the season, you know, it seemed like they was losing their magic, losing their mojo. That's when I lost faith and I sold all my Rams stock. Well, here they are. They're still here. Brady, yes, they're still here. This is going to be a hell of a Super Bowl. Would have loved to have seen the Chiefs and the Rams. Listen, I hope this is Brady. Even though he said he's not going to retire, man, this would be a beautiful thing for this to be his last one. Just so the Patriots can stop being relevant. But you want to know what? I think I heard Deion Sanders say this on TV the other day. You've got to be a fool to pick against the Patriots in this Super Bowl. With this being Tom Brady's 9th appearance in the Super Bowl, this team has more, a lot of these players have more Super Bowl experience and guys have just NFL experience all together. I want to see the Rams win, but man, listen. It's something to say for being in the Super Bowl that many times. You don't get fazed by it. You don't get fazed by it, man. It's just, it's not just another game, but listen, you've been here before. And I think that means something. Yeah, I'm picking the Rams just because I'm a Patriot hater. That's my head speaking. My heart speaking. Excuse me. My head is telling me, man, listen, we're going to have to see Tom Brady hoist up another Super Bowl trophy yet again. Dog, man, yo, when is this run going to end? I'm so sick of seeing him. But here's what's interesting about this Super Bowl. The Rams are no joke. We were hype about this defense in the beginning of the season. Saw that they can be toyed with throughout the season. However, they're still here. That defense is still something. We know what Aaron Donald is. Throw him out the picture. We know what he is. He's going to do his thing. He's going to get his. Yo, we not going to keep acting like Sue is just some old broken down big guy. You know what I'm saying? Sue is still Ndamukong Suh. I knew he was going to be a problem when I heard people say his name was Ndamukong. And I looked at how it was spelled. And then I looked at his face. And I said, yeah, man. He's got all... What? Big ugly face? Could be... You know what I'm saying? His name is Ndamukong. Ending with Kong. And I used to play Donkey Kong growing up. So I know, Brother Sean, you got Kong in your name. You strong. Kong strong. Sue strong. Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. Man, listen, they got some dogs on that defense. They going to get... Now, Brady and Belichick. Belichick going to coach the hell out of that team. They're going to throw some things at him. But I don't think, you know... Man, listen. They're going to get after Brady. I feel like they're going to be rushing Brady a lot. Either he's going to exploit it... Or his age is going to be telling that night. You know, I would love to see this be what the Seahawks did to Peyton Manning and the Broncos some years ago. I don't know if we're going to get that. I do not know if we're going to get that. I feel like this is closer to Seattle, New England. Remember, Seattle almost had that game won. But they went with Russell Wilson instead of Marshawn at the one. But that Rams defense is strong. I think they're going to get after Brady. It's just that Patriots offense. We've seen him struggle at times. But he hasn't been sacked in these 2018 playoffs. He has not been sacked yet. I don't even know how many times he's been pressured. The Rams have no choice but to get after him. If they don't, man, he's going to eat them up. Didn't he throw for like 500 yards in the last Super Bowl? You don't think he's capable of doing that again? And as for the Rams' offense, they're not at full strength. They do got a strong O-line, but they don't have Cooper Kupp. Over time, it seems like him and Woods, I know they got Brandon Cooks, but him and Robert Woods are their best receivers. And Woods is young, and so is Kupp. I think this was only Kupp's second year. Eventually, they're going to have to start playing some of these guys, but Goff has some weapons. He has some toys to play with. Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they're going to do their thing. You know, he always tries to take out what you're effective at. Here's the thing. They're effective with throwing the ball and running the ball. So, how are they going to do this now? You can't take away the run and the pass. Well, I'm not going to say can't with Bill Belichick. He's been coaching, you know, longer than probably my mom has been alive, you know, but man, listen, it's gonna be an exciting Super Bowl. Like I said, I'm picking the Rams to win, but I feel like Tom Brady in New England, they're gonna get it done again. You can't discredit what he's done in all his career with Super Bowl experience, playoff experience, his coach. They work well together. They need each other. They need each other to have been as successful as they were and have been and are. But let me tell you something, man. Old man Brady and bad back. I call Gronkowski bad back. I think this is it, man. Yo, if they don't do it this year, listen, the AFC only getting stronger. We always said, yeah, man, they play in the weak AFC East. Listen, the Jets been in two AFC championships, you know, I think last, what, 10, 15 years? The Dolphins make the playoffs every now and then. The Bills made the playoffs last season. Bills made the playoffs last year. It's not like these teams, like the Patriots are just so good that it makes the rest of the AFC East look trash, look horrible. But nah, they're just average teams. And guess what? When this New England dynasty is over, when this New England run is over, New England's going to join them and become another average team. Brady ain't going to be playing there forever. Belichick not going to be coaching there forever. They're not going to have these same guys. Now, they have that culture. they have that culture to continue to build and win the way they do. But, man, listen, everybody ain't Brady. Brady got hurt that one year, and I think Matt Castle came in, and that was the culture. Part of the reason why I feel like Brady is a system quarterback, another convo for another day. Man. Listen, the AFC is just getting stronger. My Steelers got to get it together, but, you know, Cleveland looked like it's got a little bit of promise. So does Baltimore. We've seen what the Chargers are doing. You don't think the Chargers are going to replace Phillip Rivers soon? They got a succession plan for Phil. Because the rest of that roster is young and talented and deep. Patty Mahomes ain't going nowhere. John Gruden may be up to something in Oakland. Andrew Luck that and the Colts may be the next dynasty. Deshaun Watson is here. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough going forward for New England. But the thing that they got over everybody is experience and playoff experience and Super Bowl experience. And that experience, like I said, is going to show, especially in this game. I think the Patriots, like, they're going to try to control time of possession, keep the ball away from the Rams. They're going to try to run the ball. And Sony Michel is, and James White, they have two really great running backs. One a better pass catching running back, James White. Sony Michel will run the ball. He will pound it. He will run through you. Gronk, hell of a blocking tight end. I'm not sending Gronk on too many post routes and, you know, hooks and flies. But I tell you what, he can block down all damn day for me. Get that defensive end out my way, Gronk. Put that bad back to good use, baby. Nah, man, New England's definitely, they definitely got their work cut out for them. Definitely have their work cut out for them. But they've been going to work for years, man. And that's why it's scary. But you know, every Super Bowl is different. Every Super Bowl is different. The Rams may have something to say about that. Hopefully we get good Super Bowl commercials this year. Something else I love about the Super Bowl is those commercials. I love a great commercial. I love commercials, period. Marketing, advertising, sponsoring, all that stuff. I love promotion. Hopefully we get some good Super Bowl commercials this year. A great game. A great halftime performance. You know, I think Travis Scott is going to be there. I think, isn't Cardi B too? I think I heard something about with Cardi B. Listen, it's going to be a hell of a game. That sad time of year. We don't get football for 6 months. September through February. Beautiful time for football. But that time comes and goes so fast. And now we're at the end of it. Damn. But we got NBA. We always got NBA to fall back on. I'm going to leave you with this, though. For the Super Bowl. Something to think about. I forget what the number is. Most Super Bowl champions, I think like within the last 15 years, I think all but like one or two, the winners have worn white. Keep your eye on that. Watch out for who wears white in the Super Bowl. The team that wears white is usually the team that's left on top. Something to keep your eye on.